Paul, this could be a two-hour interview.
Yeah.
I mean, just between the Supreme Court rulings and the elections today, I literally, since Friday or Saturday night, I'm like, when do we get Giroux on? When do we get Giroux on? When do we get Giroux on? Greg Giroux joins now. Truly, our election, our district, our Senate expert. Greg, I guess I got to do New York first in honor of the lieutenant governor who was with us so often during COVID with Governor Cuomo. Is Kathy Hochul a shoo-in today for the Democratic election for governor of the state of New York?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's a strong favorite, if not a shoo-in. You know, she's had close to a year in office now to kind of stabilize her political position. So I expect her to win the Democratic nomination.
I want to go to where you are and where Kate Zierinke in the New York Times was with a brilliant state legislature, internecine warfare across the Midwest. I want to go to Chicago in the two Illinois, which is Pritzker, big money, Democrat money, Ken Griffin, governor. And then there's the rest of Illinois, which, am I right, is just basically hand-to-hand combat for both Republicans and Democrats?
Well, yeah. I mean, Illinois is a really interesting state. First of all, it's kind of like the Wild West when it comes to money because, you know, Ken Griffin has given tens of millions of dollars to his preferred candidate, Richard Irvin, the mayor of Aurora. President Trump is former President Trump is backing Darren Bailey, who's from downstate Illinois, which is, you know, very conservative. There are pockets that are very liberal, like university towns, for example, very ancestrally Democratic, but has shifted very Republican. So, yeah, Chicago, very heavily Democratic. The Cook County, what we call the collar counties, you know, the inner suburbs, used to be Republican, but are now Democratic. And then rural Illinois is very Republican. So it's definitely a mix of political geographies in the land of Lincoln.
Hey, Greg, just give us a sense to date and maybe what we'll learn today. How have, generally speaking, in some of these off-year elections, have President Trump-endorsed candidates performed or done? Is there anything we can read into that as we think about the midterms?
It's been a pretty uneven, mixed record for the former president. He got some early wins, J.D. Vance in Ohio, Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, Herschel Walker he cleared the field for in Georgia. Trump tends to do better in endorsements when there's kind of a divided field and he has his preferred candidate. He's had some pretty spectacular losses, including in Georgia when he tried to oust Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger, and they both won rather easily. So, but even Republicans who win without Trump's endorsement, who run against Trump-endorsed candidates, are still, you know, running pro-Trump messages in their race. And to that extent, you know, Trump is still, you know, looming large over primaries, even those primaries where his preferred candidate doesn't win.
Other than Illinois, what should we be watching out for today, or what are you watching out for? Because whatever you are focusing on, that's what Tom and I should focus on.
Yeah, I mean, those two races in Illinois, we have members against members because of redistricting. That's, you know, it's kind of a ruthless game of musical chairs. You know, Mary Miller, a first-term Republican from, a downstate, mid-eastern Illinois, had Trump's endorsement at a rally over the weekend. She's running against a more senior Republican colleague. Those races against members of your own party, they're kind of like running against your employees. They can get really personal and awkward.
Yeah.
But then, you know, watch Mississippi, where you have a couple Republican members of Congress from southern Mississippi who were drawn into a runoff election today.
Greg, you wrote on Iowa and their redistricting and what it means for the state, the GOP majority in Iowa, a number of months ago, six, 7 months ago, maybe even longer. What do the Democrats do at the state level, state legislatures, state senates, to respond to how well the GOP has done?
Well, this is this midterm election year is also a big year for state legislative elections. The lion's share of state legislative seats are up for election, and the Democrats, the Republicans have typically done a better job winning those down ballot races. The Democrats are looking at a number of state legislative chambers to flip. You know, maybe in Michigan, maybe a chamber in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
They're also kind of focused on holding a lot of governorships in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania, where you have Republican legislators, in part because of the abortion issue, which has really shown a focus on a state level abortion policy now that the Supreme Court has ruled.
Right. Greg Giroux, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Just terrific update. Was our jewel of political coverage here in an industry.
He knows all those districts out there. Like, I got a state. Maybe I'm not even sure I can name all state capitals. He's got down to the districts. And
down to the districts. Crazy. And as he said, if you look at the map around Chicago, it's whole. I mean, I don't know. You know, I know where the Blackhawks play. That's right. It. And the bottom line is, it's like a gingerbread or like a jigsaw puzzle. It's as contrived as anything you would ever want to see. And that's true, of course, nationwide.
And I've seen similar maps of New York City. And you say, how do you create a district out of that geography as it spans across the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn and catches a couple of blocks of Manhattan?
I'm not sure when it is, but it's Nadler and Mahoney, to establish Democratic Congress types on the island of Manhattan that will have to go to. We'll, have election coverage for you tomorrow morning, and they'll be important, particularly for those of you in New York City, as we look at the governor's race across the great state as well.